And welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is Palm Sunday. Pastor Alan Mueller is chosen for his singing going.
To Jerusalem. Just a few days before he begins with a reading from God's Word. From John chapter 12. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and to call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. The Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. When he sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free, then he will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they took refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no god besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then the whole company of them arose and brought Jesus before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas." A man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection, started in the city, and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for the insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. And as they led him away, they seized one, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light faded, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw that what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all this, and all his acquaintances, and the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. For our children's message song this morning, we are going to sing just the first verse. Everybody, good morning. So good to see you. You know, I got to watch you as you all came marching down the aisle this morning. You guys did such a good job. Do you remember what you were told to say while you were going down the aisle, or what the people were saying? Hosanna, good job, awesome. So Hosanna, that is a word we really don't use. It goes back to Jesus' day a couple thousand years ago, this is a word that means Lord save us. These people were marching into Jerusalem asking for Jesus to save them. So, you know, we often have parades for special occasions, right? What kind of occasions do we use parades or have parades for? Do you know? Uh-huh. To celebrate God? Yeah. How about a Okay. We use parades maybe for the 4th of July. There's 4th of July parades. We have a Thanksgiving parade. We also have parades when important people come to town. I'm sure if the President of America ever came to Sweet Springs, we would have a parade for him. There would be a procession for the President as he comes in. And, you know, that's what the Jews were doing in Jesus' day as Jesus made his way. Jesus is a special person, isn't he? Yeah, he is. He is king. He is the Lord of all. And so everyone was waving palm branches. This is a symbol of victory. You see your palm branches? See them waving, a symbol of victory. They were all saying that Jesus is king and that he has come to save. But you know, Jesus didn't come to the world just to be praised and cherished and respected. But rather, Jesus came to the world so that he would actually die for our sins. Instead of getting all of this praise and honor, Jesus actually humbles himself. He empties himself of all pride, and he ends up dying on the cross for us. He goes to the cross and dying for our sins so that we can have everlasting life. Would you please join me in a word of prayer? Dear God, we thank you so much for your loving kindness. We thank you for coming as King, a King of peace, as a King who has come for our good, who does not look after his own well-being, but looks after the well-being of others. We ask that you would give us your love, that we can rejoice and find comfort, knowing that you love us dearly and that you have come to save us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I do not have candy for you today, but you are going to get candy and donuts after service at the Easter egg hunt. So you can go back to your seats. So thank you so much for joining me up here. In the congregation, we are going to sing our next hymn. Readings this morning, we are confronted with two processions. The first was demonstrated for us by our kids this morning. It was a procession with cries of Hosanna. Lord, save us, they were saying. And they cried joyfully as Jesus made his way into Jerusalem. For this was a procession with men's lips filled with praises. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But then we saw a second procession within our gospel reading this morning. This one would have occurred just 5 days later, as we now see the impassioned cries of the multitude saying, "Crucify him." Crucify him, they say, and away with him, as they led Jesus out of Jerusalem to be killed. It's almost hard to imagine that these two processions were for the same person. For quite obviously, they're virtually complete opposites from one another. One is an open-armed welcome, sprinkled with rejoicing and loud celebrations. And the other, a spew of hatred, calling for this man's torment and death. It's almost hard to imagine such a dramatic shift, going from the open-armed welcome to, within a week's time, a desire to put the very same man to death. Well, this morning, dear friends, I hope to look at these two processions together. And as we do so, we're going to see in both instances how Jesus is king. It's kings who get processions, and truly in both cases before us here, Jesus is indeed a king. In one, he enters Jerusalem as the king of peace and joy. And in the other, he is a king of grief and pain. But in both cases, dear friends, his kingship is a blessing and a delight to those of us who have been brought into his kingdom. As we look first to our Palm Sunday processional, I want you to see before you the King of Peace. He's a king indeed, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet notice how his subjects carry no swords. He's a king, but his soldiers and his army, see them in their thousands in the form of babes, children, women, and humbled men. There is no weapons of conflict found within their midst, but rather in the Lord's army, they carry palm branches. Surely we must see in this that Jesus is a king of peace. And from this, we can be sure that he means peace for us. For though he had boundless strength and multitudes of loyal subjects, he uses neither of those to advance his own cause. He uses no use of force for any sense of selfish gain. In fact, if you watch him, anyone with half an eye would have to notice just how devoid Jesus is of any self-interest. He is rather so meek, so loving, so selfless that he cares only for the interests of other people. Jesus is a king of peace. And yes, though he came conquering and to conquer, see though what his weapons of choice are. For they are weapons of peace, for he fights using kind words. He brings people captive to his will through deeds of love. His words overflow with blessings, fighting evil with good. Dear friends, the Lord never uses force to expand his kingdom. He never calls us to bully people into the faith. You can never argue people into the kingdom of God. You can't beat people into genuine repentance. It's as the saying goes, that a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Rather, the Lord has called us into his army and picking up and fighting with weapons of love. It's by your love that he says that they will know you are Christian. It's through your gracious deeds that they shall see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The only way we can wrestle someone into the kingdom is if you mean by that that we wrestle with God in prayer. And if you're wrestling with your own sinful flesh, to be patient and long-suffering with the unbeliever. Jesus has called us into his kingdom and to grow his kingdom through humility, works of love, and of course through the sharing of the gospel. He says to be ready in season and out of season, to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. But do this, he says, with gentleness and respect. The Lord is a king of peace. For see how his strong hand and his outstretched arm uses not the sword, but rather wields compassion and grace. Once did the disciple Matthew take a sword and cut off the ear of a Roman soldier. Matthew tried to advance his own will through force. But we see immediately after just how quickly Jesus rebukes him mightily. For truly, his kingdom must be a kingdom of peace. It's a beautiful image as Jesus and his followers march into Jerusalem with palm branches. That palm branch being a symbol of victory. And see how the King of Peace rides into victory without the battle. He leaves behind him no tears in his wake. There is no devastation that follows in his footsteps. No burned cities, no mutilated bodies, for he is the King of Peace. And rather, in his wake are blessings, for he comes instead, wiping every tear from your eyes. Those who are left conquered by this King of Peace shall find only tears of joy, for the God of all peace has lifted us from our fallen estate, and he has set us upon thrones. The King of Peace releases the captives from their bondage of sin, and he sets us free to go forth in liberty. And in his wake, he rather leaves a benedictions, saying, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you." Dear friends, quite clearly, peace is an attribute of God. He rules all things peaceably and in order. He comes not to condemn the world, but so that in him all the nations of the world would be blessed. He desires not the death of the wicked, but that all should have life and should have it abundantly. He comes not to make or to stir up conflict, but he has called us to peace. And he has come reconciling God and man, making peace between heaven and earth. See the King of Kings who comes to Jerusalem riding on a donkey. For from this one act, dear friends, I think we can find three quick blessed truths. First, there is no plainer way that Jesus can say that he is king than by fulfilling that Old Testament prophecy saying, "Rejoice, O Jerusalem, see, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." This indeed is the King of Righteousness who rides into Jerusalem. For this is the King of Glory, the King of Perfection and Goodness, the King who cares so much for his subjects that he cares so little about himself. For see, in the second place, how Jesus seems to care even for the beasts of the field. For though a donkey is a beast of burden by nature, Jesus here seems to care for it deeply, not wishing that even the beasts of his kingdom would be grieved. He takes not the colt away from its mother, but rather see how Jesus rides on the colt next to its mother, where it too can find joy and peace in his kingdom. The King of Peace would not needlessly strip this child donkey from its mother. For those who men should seem to overlook so flippantly, Jesus actively cares for and comforts. Yes, dear friends, we are told that Jesus cares for the donkeys. He cares for the lilies that are here today and gone tomorrow. We are told that he cares for the birds of the air as he gives them food in due time. The King of Peace, who cares for all of these, would have you know and believe that he cares for you, as you are indeed worth more to him than many sparrows. He should have you at peace and rest, knowing that he rules all things well for you. And thirdly, from the donkey, we see the great humility of our King. He has emptied himself, Philippians says. For though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant born in the likeness of men. Jesus empties himself, making him the poorest of the poor. It's not on a pomp stallion on which he rides. There is no glamour, for Jesus has emptied himself. Though he is very God of very God, he comes from heaven to be born in a borrowed manger. He did his life's work dwelling in borrowed houses. For though foxes have holes, the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. He lived fully upon the charity of others. When he taught preaching from a borrowed boat. When he entered Jerusalem, riding on a borrowed donkey. Though he, by birthright, owned the cattle on 1,000 hills, he owned not one of them. When he died stripped of his own clothes, his only possessions that he did have. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb, for he had not 1 foot of property for himself. The Lord could have left poverty at any time. He who came down from heaven was endowed with mighty strength that could change water into wine. He could multiply a fish, and with a single word, he could have become more wealthy than King Solomon himself. He could have conquered the nations to be his inheritance. But caring again only for the interests of others, and caring for you, dear friends, he went hungry. And he died with nothing except the insults of man. And here we see, just briefly, the story of the second processional now before us. For here, dear friends, we see the King of Sorrows being led out and driven out of Jerusalem. Just prior, we saw Jesus coming to Jerusalem, riding on a beast of burden. But now before us, we see Jesus leaving Jerusalem as the beast of burden. He's the beast of burden, hauling the sins of the world to the grave. He carries the sins of the world upon his shoulders. He's a man of grief and sorrows. He was marred beyond human recognition, and he was beaten, whipped, and crucified. It's an interesting detail that often gets left out in the story, and one that I wish I had more time to talk about myself. But in Luke verse 26, Luke records for us that they led Jesus away, and they seized one named Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the hill country, and they laid on him the cross to carry behind Jesus. Tradition would tell us that Jesus fainted under the weight of the cross. And the very fact that the Romans would allow and even force another to carry the cross behind Jesus suggests how sorrowful and pitiful a state he was in. Jesus was in such a state that it would seem that the Romans feared that Jesus would die at any moment. Looking upon his marred appearance and seeing his emaciated state, they feared that he could die before he ever actually reached the place of execution. And so, in a wicked and cruel twist, they mercifully, so to speak, force another to carry his cross. For Jesus, they thought, can't be spared the agonies of the cross. He can't die, they say, before getting nailed to the tree. And so they get Simon to help ease his burden so that the King of Sorrows doesn't die of exhaustion before ever getting there. In all actuality, dear friends, the cross itself that was put on Simon was just a wooden representation of the real suffering that lied underneath. Perhaps indeed the weight of the wood was transferred to Simon, but its curse and its sin and all the punishment therein still rested only on Jesus' shoulders. Jesus remained the King of the cursed, still even wearing the crown of thorns, that crown which was made from the curse of the ground. And I close with this last thought, dear friends, because I want you to see in Simon a picture of the church. For truly did Jesus say, pick up your cross and follow me. And here Simon was forced to bear the load, just as Christians for centuries have been forced to carry crosses. For following Christ can cost a man wealth, reputation, business, and any sense of worldly gain. And the world can hoist its persecutions upon you. But know this, that when you do, the King of Sorrow has paved your way with his blood. The Lord hasn't saved us from suffering in this world, but he has indeed saved us from the curse of suffering. There is physical pain in this life, but know, dear friends, that there is not a single drop of divine wrath found therein. For Jesus has paid the whole penalty of sin. Indeed, he has taken the sting out of death, and he has taken the curse out of suffering. There is not one drop of divine wrath which should be left unsatisfied, where you or I must be forced to drink and partake. For Jesus has taken the curse himself, and he alone bears the weight of human sin and guilt. We who are in Christ, no divine judgment is left for us. The Father's love towards you is unfailing and true. The King of Sorrows has taken the curse upon himself, giving you his peace, saying, my peace I give to you. For the sufferings of this world is not worth comparing to the glory that shall be revealed to in us. And so, dear friends, may the God of all peace And the Lord, over all our sorrows, strengthen you completely in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Almighty God, you are sovereign in your reign, and you rule all things perfectly and completely, as indeed the whole of creation lies within your control. We praise you for the glorious King that you are, the King of peace and joy. We thank you for sending your precious Son to live and dwell among us, loving and caring for your special people, and ultimately dying as our substitute for sin. Lead us to live in joyous celebrations for the great love that you have towards us. For you are the God of peace, and though you care for all creatures, you have loved us with a special love and creating us in your own image. Give us peace and joy in knowing that you are a God merciful, forgiving, and you are working all things together for our good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting Father, as Jesus came into Jerusalem in all humility and meekness, lead us as your children to likewise walk in the same spirit. Lead us to not think too highly of ourselves, but in everything, may we see that without you, we would be lost in our trespasses and sins. In the spirit of love for others, lead in us a true humility. And for our friends and family, neighbors and co-workers, and for those who have hurt us, guide us to love them and to walk humbly in the spirit of meekness. Be in our conversations as we seek your kingdom and your will. And lead us to help and support those who are hurting in our midst. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gracious Father, as Jesus came with salvation, and as he went to the cross to win for us the forgiveness of sins, lead us to so walk in his footsteps. Lead us to bear all things patiently, always trusting that you are good. In all things, lead us to pray to you with joy and thanksgiving. Lead us to keep our eyes on your most precious gift, as there is no judgment left to be poured out upon us in Christ Jesus. Especially during this week ahead, leading up to Easter, keep our eyes on the wonderful truths of the gospel. Bring us to reflect upon them and to take them to heart. And Heavenly Father, prepare our hearts for our Easter celebration next week. Lead us so that we may in all joy celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Holy God, from the lips of children, you receive praise and glory. You receive all who come to you in childlike faith. And we further praise you for never being far away to those who call upon your name. You who receive the little children, we ask that you would continue to look after, nurture, and sustain the children of this congregation. Be with the parents and families so that they may all continue to grow in love and service towards one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, great physician, we lift before you those in our midst who are struggling in mind, body, and spirit. Those hurting who belong to you and of this congregation. And we especially pray for these folks here so that you would continue to pour out your spirit of grace and truth upon them. Continue to pour out your loving kindness upon the family and friends of Charlene Hink. As a family continues to grieve for passing, give them your surpassing peace. Be with family and friends as they continue building one another up and finding hope and comfort in you. And we continue to pray for Randy Brandt. And gracious God, continue to be with him and Janet as you bring them through this trial. And for all your people, help them to find peace in the midst of the storm. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn. Let's invite the kids forward to sing another song for us.